Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Well, we're going to look at laws and cases regarding sexual assaults and laws regarding the age at which children can have sex and issues like public school teachers who are accused of child sexual abuse. So those are some of the topics we're going to cover. And we'll start in Lima, Peru, down in South America, for the public school teachers who are tuning in right now. Peru is in South America. And then we'll talk about House lawmakers in Delaware approving a bill to make it more difficult for child rapists to escape punishment, but they excluded public school teachers. The bill doesn't apply to public school teachers. And then we'll come to Lincoln, Nebraska, where a three-judge Court of Appeals panel upheld a sentence for a 52-year-old man who sexually molested a 13-year-old girl, and his sentence is probation. Basically, he gets probation. Okay? So there's a lot of brokenness in our culture, and this will enable us to talk through many of these issues. And what's right and what's wrong. I remember asking a question, actually making a statement to Tom Minery, who's the vice president of public policy at Focus on the Family. 2 years ago, we gave a presentation down at Colorado Springs in their headquarters. Tom Minery was there, his judicial analysts were there. And at the end of the presentation, I made a suggestion, and it was this, that since our strategy, we have so many options in Christian and pro-life strategy, let's do this as a way of constraining us so that we know that what we're working for is good. I said, let's figure out what laws God would want on the books. Right? So Tom Minery, here's a recommendation. We gave three recommendations. One was, let's figure out what laws God would want on the books and then work toward achieving those laws. And Tom Minery said, no, we can't do that. We can't do that. And that is because he's committed to a secular strategy, a secular worldview when it comes to governmental authority, public policy. It was actually, now we've been in this battle for years. The elders of Denver Bible Church here at Bob Enyart Live, I've been doing the show for 15 years. I've heard a lot. And I know what the battle is like, and I know what the battleground is like. But I have to confess to being taken aback when Tom Minery said, no, we can't do that. Because the recommendation was, Tom, quite often we fight for laws, and it turns out that our laws are not even good. So let's figure out, let's make a list of what are the laws that God would want on the books, and then work toward those laws. Even if we can't achieve them, because we don't have total control over the government. So let's work toward those laws. Figure out what laws would God want on the books and then work toward those laws. No, we can't do that. That would be a bad idea. And that did take me aback. I was somewhat shocked. But since then, it's going to take a lot more to shock me in the last 2 years in our open letter project to Dr. Dobson. But anyway, in Peru, their Congress voted to lower the age of consent for a child to participate in sex, and they lowered the age to 14. So 14 years old. Previously, it was 17 years old. And the age of consent for sex in many U.S. states is 16 or older. And, of course, in Northern Europe, They continue to lower the age of consent for sex, and especially for homosexual sex. I mean, that seems to be a preference by a lot of our liberal lawmakers. And what we know is that those who are in rebellion against God, those who reject God's principles of right and wrong that he put in our conscience, that he put in Scripture, in the Ten Commandments, that they tend to become child sex advocates. They're child sex advocates. In the Denver metro area, Adams City High School, the superintendent of District 14, I recall some years ago being in a meeting with him. I was on the District Accountability Committee, which was required by law. Parents, members of the community, teachers, administrators, being accountable for all the schools in a district to oversee and to recommend and warn and that kind of thing. And the superintendent jumped up on his toes during a meeting of our accountability committee and threw his hands up into the air and said, "We give out condoms to the kids." And I could see it in his face that the very thought excited him, that he was actually sexually excited by the thought of 13 and 14-year-old kids having sex. I mean, that was obvious. And just ask kids who go to public schools today if their male teachers get excited about the way the girls dress to school, or when the kids talk about sex, if the teachers like to be involved or listen in. Just ask, what is the environment like? And so in Peru, the Congress in Peru, obviously they have congressmen who like the idea of 14-year-old girls having sex, and maybe, you know, just it excites them. So the lawmakers voted 70-10 to approve the measure lowering the age at which the criminal law would recognize the legal capacity of a person to consent to sexual activity. So 14-year-old girls now could be more easily abused by boys or men. All right. And so the measure was written by a member of President Alan Garcia's center-left Aprista party. And the president, Alan Garcia, is expected to sign it into law. And one supporter of the measure, a lawmaker, Raul Castro, said the law will bring Peru in line with, quote, the progress and development of a modern society, unquote. Yeah, because our liberal societies like to use girls for sex. That's what they like to do. They like to use girls, quite often, the younger the better. And if they get pregnant, well, bring them to Planned Parenthood, clean them out, and pass them on to the next guy to use them. That's the way it works. And if your daughter goes to a public school, man, I wonder about you as a father if you send your daughter to a public school. I would rather die than send my daughter to a public school, because I wouldn't want my daughter to be the end of a joke about asking her for sex or anything like that, her body. And if you send your daughter to a public school, you have to assume that that's going to happen to her how many times a day? I don't know, on a regular basis, right? That she will receive the brunt of sexual jokes, sexual harassment. And if it happened, if she was a secretary working for General Motors and it happened once, it could be literally a federal case, literally. But in school, if you go to the principal, he's going to say to you, come on, get real. You know, that's what these kids do. That's what they do. Your daughter is here to provide sexual entertainment for the boys. That's why the boys come to school. You don't know that? They would have dropped out long ago. But they get to look at your daughter's body, ask her for sexual favors. Come on, get real. This is America. This is the public school system. Get a life. We got your daughter. Now you go on with your life. Go, leave, get out of here. So if you're a father, you send your daughter to the public school system, I don't understand you. I just don't get it. Do you lie to yourself in the morning that my daughter is going to a good place and it's a good school and she's going to be treated with honor and dignity? Is that what you tell yourself? Boy, there's got to be a lot of denial in that. So here's what you should do. If your daughter goes to a public school, you should say, as of today, my number one priority will be to rescue my daughter out of the public school system. I'm going to rescue her out of the public school system. And then you could join the tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of fathers who've done the same thing, and they are so thankful that they did. By the way, our phone number here is 1-800-8-NYARTS, 1-800-836-9278, 1-800-836-9278. So the question is, do you want your daughter to be in line with the progress and development of a modern society? If so, you could send her to one of our public schools in Colorado or America, or just move your whole family to Peru, where it could be open season on her as long as she's 14, or if she looks 14, or if she dresses 14. So then we have the lawmakers in Delaware. For public school teachers tuning in right now, Delaware is a state within the United States. It's on the East Coast. Lawmakers in Delaware, House lawmakers, approved a bill that eliminated the 2-year statute of limitations for victims of child sexual abuse. And that's good. These are arbitrary limitations. It depends on the evidence. If somebody's accusing someone of a crime a long time ago and there's no evidence, well, then there's no evidence and it's just an accusation. But maybe there is evidence. You know, some people keep videotapes of their crimes against children. So if you find a videotape that a guy kept all these years of himself raping a child 5, 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago, well, 40 years ago, they weren't making home videos. They would only do that in Hollywood, like if you worked on the set of Hogan's Heroes or something. But if you find a videotape of some guy raping a child, it doesn't matter what the statute of limitations, that's not relevant. The system should never prohibit the prosecution of a criminal. Never, ever, 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 never. That would mean the system is inherently immoral. So in Delaware, they're slow on the uptake in Delaware, but they did figure out that a 2-year statute of limitations for someone who rapes a child is a bit much. For victims of child sex abuse, it's a bit much. And so they eliminated that 2-year statute of limitations, except for public school teachers. Except for public school teachers. So that's a good one, right? Could you imagine even writing that amendment into it? If someone sexually abuses a child, that person could be prosecuted beyond the previous 2-year statute of limitations, unless it's a public school teacher, because we give public school teachers as many possible protections as we can if they perhaps rape a student. By the way, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. What if the law said, except for priests, except for Roman Catholic priests? Now then, the liberals would be enraged, right? They'd be irate. And that, of course, would be immoral. But it says, except for public school teachers, and you're not going to hear complaints about this, are you? No, this was the House lawmakers in Delaware. They did this 1 month ago. So this is perverse, of course. There should be no artificial statute of limitations. And in fact, all statutes of limitations are invalid when it comes to judgment day. God is not going to say, well, nobody accused you in 7 years, so you get a get out of hell free card. You're not going to have a get out of hell free card. So all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And what we need to do is to turn to God in humility and ask him to forgive us of our sin through our trust in Christ, his death and resurrection, because he died for our sin, not for his sin. And he was raised from the dead so that we could live forever. But if we're not humble enough to acknowledge that we sin, that we hurt others, and we hurt ourselves, and we even grieve God, if we're not humble enough to acknowledge that and then if we're not wise enough to trust in Jesus Christ and in what he did for us, then you're in big trouble, because there are going to be no lawyers at the Great White Throne Judgment that are going to be able to pull off some technicality defense. They're not going to be able to say, well, this person here, this guy, he may have committed this crime, but he's too short, Your Honor. He's too short. He shouldn't go to jail. He's only 5'1". He shouldn't go to hell. Hell is really for taller people. Now, that sounds stupid, doesn't it? The lake of fire is only for tall surfers. And my client is 5'1", so he shouldn't go to the lake of fire. He shouldn't go to hell. He sure shouldn't go to jail. Well, what in the world am I talking about? What in the world am I talking about, 5'1"? Well, I'm talking about the next story out of Lincoln, Nebraska. Lincoln, Nebraska, a state appellate court, has just ruled that a 52-year-old man doesn't have to even go to jail for his sexual molestation of a 13-year-old girl. He doesn't even have to go to jail. He was sentenced to probation for 10 years. And so that was appealed by the attorney general. And that appeal was struck down by this 3-judge Nebraska Court of Appeals, this panel, and they upheld the probation sentence of a 52-year-old Nebraska man for molesting this 13-year-old. And the criminal's name is Richard Thompson. So he gets probation rather than prison. Now, prison is not the right sentence. Prison, jail, you know what that all is? That's time out for adults. Doesn't work. Prison, jail is school for criminals. That's what jail is. Jail is school for criminals. You send people to jail and they get worse as a general rule. And if you don't know that, that's because you're a liberal. But you send people to jail. If you're running a school and you have cut-ups in a class and they're disrespectful to the teacher and they mock the other students, so you take one or two badly behaving students out of a class and you set aside another classroom and you put them in there. And then you take the worst students from another class down the hall and you put them in that same room. And then you fill that room up with about 30 really badly behaving punks. And those kids are all going to get better. They're all going to get better. You know why? Because whoever you put in there to supervise them, they're going to despise the punks in the class. And the punks are going to hate the guards. And they're going to hate one another. And they're going to hate God. So jail is time out for adults. And it is as ineffective. In fact, it's counterproductive, just like time out is for kids. Doesn't work. It's make-believe. But if you're a liberal, none of this even makes sense to you. You think you accidentally tuned into a Japanese language news broadcast. You have no idea what's being said. So, but that's because you're liberal and we understand that. So anyway, this 52-year-old guy was sentenced to probation by this district judge, Christine Sakava. And she said this. She said she feared for his safety in prison because he was only 5'1". So he's 5'1", and she's afraid what might happen to him in prison. Why is that? Prison is time out for adults. Prison is run by liberals. It's the mecca, the ultimate institution where the government cares for people 24 hours a day. The government pays for every possible need they may have. Health care, food, clothing, housing, entertainment, education, legal representation. They keep them warm in winter, cool in summer. Why would she fear for this guy to be in that environment where the government is in complete control? Complete control. So anyway, that's the scam she used. We know that many of our judges, many, because they have been upholding the law, they simply don't know right from wrong at all. They've lost all recognition of right and wrong. So many of them think it's wrong even to punish a criminal. So they're looking for excuses not to punish someone, just monitor them. It's like the ACLU representing, defending some guy's right. Some pyromaniac wants to burn down the ACLU headquarters, and the ACLU lawyer says, well, we recognize this man's right to burn down the ACLU headquarters. I mean, I'm just making that up, but this is how bizarre and broken. So the attorney general said he's going to go to the Nebraska Supreme Court to appeal this again because he believes sexual assault of a child is a serious offense that warrants volleyball time, and it warrants foosball time, and it warrants watching cable TV and soft porn videos. Is that what? I don't understand. What is this article? This is in the Omaha World Herald Bureau by Leslie Reed. The Attorney General, John Brunning of Nebraska, said he's going to ask the Supreme Court, Nebraska Supreme Court, to put him in jail because he believes sexual assault of a child is a serious offense that warrants 3 meals a day, cable TV, softball, time on the basketball court. Oh, wait. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm reading between the lines. He said that warrants jail time, but jail is time out for adults where you get to play. If you get tired of playing basketball and foosball, baseball, I say foosball because that's what we played when I was in jail, foosball. I didn't even have a foosball table at home. I had to go to jail to play foosball. And the videos they watch, I mean, in Denver County Jail, the inmates vote. They have a panel. They have a committee, and they pick the videos to watch. I remember it was three movies on Friday night, 4 movies on Saturday night, and 3 movies on Sunday night. And the movies were things like, gator bait, like half-dressed women running through the Florida Everglades being chased and gang-raped by inbred brothers. That's the kind of movies that the inmates in Denver County Jail would watch. But don't worry, it's not going to mess up their minds because they only would watch 3 on Friday night, 4 on Saturday night, and 3 such movies on Sunday night. So it's not like it's going to, be an influence on them. And then the jails where the commissaries sell pornography. So the 27-page opinion was written by one of the appeals court judges, 27 pages. And here is a sign. You could ask yourself, do I have a Christian worldview or am I basically liberal? And if you think that we could create a system of checks and balances to make sure that the government does what's right, to make sure that a corporation internally that it does what's right, that a denomination does what's right, that an organization like even Colorado Right to Life. If you think you could create a system of checks and balances to make sure that Colorado Right to Life over the next 5 years, 20, 50 years does what's right, you are a liberal. You're naive because you can't do that. You know, we could have Robert's Rules of Order in 500 pages of trying to make sure the right thing is done in a meeting. And guess what? The right thing is not going to be done in the meeting as a general rule. Because God in the Bible did not fill it with checks and balances. Because God is wiser than Democrats. And he knows that if you have one committee oversee the actions of another committee, that the oversight committee is probably going to disapprove of whatever good thing the first committee did in the first place. If someone does something right, the appellate court will reverse it. They're not going to uphold what's right. They're going to strike it down and impose what's wrong. And then you have a bigger committee over them. So you have a state Supreme Court, 7 justices, then you got a federal appellate court, then it goes to the U.S. Supreme Court, 9 justices, and the further in you go, the worse the outcome generally will be, and that should be what is expected unless you're a liberal. So our founding fathers, some of them were godly Christians, other were humanist, deist. Thomas Jefferson hated Jesus Christ. He hated Jesus Christ. He remade God in his image. He rejected Jesus Christ, the signs and wonders the Lord did. He rejected that Jesus Christ was our creator. He rejected that he was our Lord, that he died for our sins, that he was raised from the dead. Thomas Jefferson rejected all that. If you don't know that, you can look it up on one of our websites, shadowgov.com. Just go Google shadowgov, one word, and then Thomas Jefferson. And the first thing that pops up, click on it, read about Thomas Jefferson. You'll see that he hated Jesus Christ. Okay? He made himself into God, Thomas Jefferson. So these guys, they thought, well, if we make the House of Representatives large enough, then surely it would never do wrong. I'm not saying Thomas Jefferson wrote the U.S. Constitution. He's the primary author of the Declaration of Independence. But I'm talking about the mindset, the liberal mindset of many of our founding fathers, the overtly humanist mindset of many of them. Like Thomas Jefferson, for example, praised the wicked French Revolution, the bloodthirsty French Revolution, which was so evil. And many of our other founding fathers knew that what the French were doing was wicked, and so they opposed it. But he's one who approved of it. But anyway, they thought if the House of Representatives is large enough, then it will never spend more money than it takes in, because it will be responsible to the citizens of the districts. So that's the best way to make sure that the House of Representatives is fiscally responsible, by making them accountable to the people of their district, and their terms expire every 2 years. So certainly they wouldn't overspend. Oh, brother. Boy, what do you got to read? The Federalist Papers or the Anti-Federalist Papers? What do you got to read to know that this stuff was humanist and goofy? Have you been tricked into a humanist worldview that is that the majority is good and wise? Have you been tricked into that? So here in Nebraska, we have this judge saying, Christine Sakava saying, I'm sitting here thinking this guy has earned his way to prison. But then I look at you and I look at your physical size. I look at your basic ability to cope with people. And quite frankly, I shake to think of what might happen to you in prison, because I don't think you'll do well in prison. If he rapes another child, this Christine Sakava should pay. She should pay for it. Judges should not be above the law. If they are guilty of gross negligence and they release predators, then they should pay for the crime also. So Christians, you know who are qualified to tell the nation what its law should be? Christians who study God's word. Those are the ones who are qualified to tell the nation what the law should be. Hey, we're out of time. Check out our website, kgov.com. If you could help us, Bob Enyart Live, call us at 800-8-ENYART and Maranatha Christian Center. What a great school in Arvada. May God bless you.